Joy hated the working poor neighborhood in which she grew up, calling it a terrible city. She's glad she made it out. She listed the many reasons why most folks don't. Even though she's now far away from the inner city where she spent most of her youth, she's carried the stories with her. We found a table in the back corner of the sparsely populated cafe to guarantee she and I had some privacy. Before we could settle into our seats, Joy started in with a series of questions about the project, sharing details along the way about who she would and wouldn't allow to interview her. No one was in the back room with us. We were so far away from the front bar that we couldn't even smell the freshly roasted coffee. Even still, once Joy was satisfied with my answers, she leaned forward and waved her hand to gesture that it was time for me to join her. Hunched over the table with our heads almost touching, it was as if we were kids on the playground sharing secrets, as she nervously giggled and admitted, "I got like 3 decades worth of stories." After announcing the arrival of stories amassed and untold over the course of her life, Joy leaned back in her chair, clasped her warm mug with both hands, and sighed as she looked out the window at some place far off in her memories. Although I couldn't go there with her, the slump in her shoulders and the tears forming on the outer edges of her eyes let me know that it was not easy for her to return. Yet she did. And she described what it was like to grow up terrified of officers and her neighbors, anxious about neighborhood violence and the police. She knew as a child that police officers can't protect me. In her city, you'd rather get robbed by a criminal than get pulled over by police. Even though she's now far away from the inner city where she grew up, it's still really difficult for her when she meets new people. It triggers old wounds around trust. It reminds her of how hard it was back then to distinguish between the danger from corrupt cops and those in her neighborhood engaged in illicit activities, questioning, who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy? All she knew back then was that they all scared her. As a little girl, she didn't know how to figure out the difference. When we met, she still didn't. The grating clink of a metal chair dragged across the concrete each time she shuffled, her backpack rustling as she pulled it closer to her chest for comfort or more warmth. Not a pause, then. A long ellipsis punctuated by fidgeting movements, shaky laughter, and anxious apologies. It was November, and it was freezing. Yet we still sat on the outside patio so Nima could have some privacy, away from the crowd gathering in the heated cafe. She is an 18-year-old, dark brown-skinned, black, cisgender teenager with shoulder-length braids who didn't really have a strong opinion one way or the other about what it was like to grow up in a wealthy, mostly white suburb located outside a large metropolitan city. And stories? Nima anxiously laughed as she emphatically stated, "I really don't interact with the police as often, especially as an individual who grew up in a middle-class suburban area." To further emphasize her point, Nima disclosed that prior to speaking with me, she really had to reflect on her experiences with police, stressing the really to let me know the memories did not come easy. Given as an apology, she then eagerly explained why she was excited to talk. She was learning a lot about mass incarceration and policing in inner cities in one of her favorite college classes. From what they had covered so far that semester, she was curious and unsure why I would even do a project exclusively focused on black women and girls, especially including those from middle-class backgrounds like hers. "I mean, I really don't feel like the situation affects..." Pause. "Well, let me stop. I feel like certain aspects of police brutality and interaction don't really apply to all black people or, pause, other people of color." Starting, stopping, and abruptly changing directions several times while making this statement, Nima went on to specify who exactly was at risk of certain aspects of police violence. "It's definitely not folks like her. Maybe?" She's unsure. Her cheery disposition gradually shifted as she began answering the interview questions and discussed dealing with the police, remembering the act of speaking aloud and listening to herself provide the details of her encounters conjured up new